राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जयो राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जयो श्री गोपाल श्री गोपाल जयो श्री गोपाल जयो गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जयो गौरनिताय जय प्रभुपाद जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव नितय गौर हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजक आचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्रीमद हेज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजक आचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्रीमद हेज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रीला हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज is to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namaha Pankajanabhaya Namaha Pankajamaline Namaha Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangriye. So today we'll be reading from Canto 11, Chapter 11, chapter entitled The Symptoms of Living Entities, verse number 16 and 17. Nastuvitana nindeta kurvata sadva sadhuva vadato guna doshabhyam varjita samadrin muni nastuvitana nindeta Kurvata sadva sadhuva Vadato guna doshabhyam Varjita samadrin muni Nastuvitana nindeta Kurvata sadva sadhuva Vadato guna doshabhyam Varjita samadrin muni. Atajis. Nastuvita does not praise, na nindeta does not criticize, kurvataha those who are working, sadhu very nicely, asadhu very badly, va or vadataha those who are speaking, guna doshabhyam from good and bad qualities, varjita, freed, samadrik, seeing things equally, muni, a saintly sage. Translation: a saintly sage sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Indeed, although he observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly, the sage does not praise or criticize anyone. Since there is no purport, we go on to the next verse. Verse number 17 says, na kuryan vadeta kinchinna dhyayeta sadva sadhuvam atmaramo naya vritya vicharenga navan munihi. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: for the purpose of maintaining his body, a liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, he should be detached in all material circumstances and taking pleasure in self-realization. He should wander about, engaged in this liberated lifestyle, appearing like a retarded person to outsiders. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this verse describes a type of discipline recommended for the Jnana Yogis, or who by intelligence try to understand that they are not their material bodies. One who is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, however, accepts and rejects material things in terms of their usefulness in the loving service of Lord Krishna. One who is trying to preach Krishna consciousness should be seen as very intelligent and not jadavat or stunted as described here. Although a devotee of the Lord does not act, speak or contemplate for his personal sense gratification, he remains very busy working, speaking and meditating in the devotional service of the Lord. The devotee makes elaborate plans to engage all the fallen souls in Lord Krishna's service so they can be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Merely rejecting material things is not perfect consciousness. One must see everything as the property of the Lord and meant for the Lord's pleasure. One busily engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement has no time to make material distinctions and thus automatically comes to the liberated platform. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितान् तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणा ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Actually, I am surprised that I am sitting here today to talk. Yesterday, up to 1 o'clock in the night, I did not know that I was supposed to speak today. Something happened, I got up for some other reason. And just out of some intuition, I checked the WhatsApp. As such, I am very poor in checking my WhatsApp. At any given point of time, there are at least 1,100 messages. So, I don't know, I just checked the WhatsApp and there was this message that I am supposed to give class today. Please confirm. So, I wrote back, sorry, too late, not possible. But somehow when I got up in the morning, I just got ready, came and I thought, It is not fair to put devotees in difficulty in the last minute because I know that devotees have gone on yatra and therefore there is a shortage. So last minute it may be difficult. So I did not have any books also in my hand ready at that time for reference. So just using the mobile, I checked up today's verse, just went through the verse and I'm sitting in front of you. So, I am desperately praying for your mercy and for the mercy of Radha Gopinath and Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Shishya Parampara to make me say something that will be meaningful. So, please bestow your mercy upon me. Thank you. Actually, this is the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is consisting of 12 cantos in all. Bhagavad Gita was what Krishna spoke to Arjun. And through Arjun, he gave the message to the whole world. Arjun is a highly qualified devotee. He is not one who will be bewildered. But yet, he takes the position of one who is bewildered. So Krishna spoke the Gita to enlighten Arjun. And Arjun became a representative for each one of us. And by reading the Gita, we get the same benefit which Arjun got on the battlefield. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj was never a bewildered soul. he was singularly fortunate to have darshan of the Lord within the womb itself. Forget, in our case, even after a lifetime or so many lifetimes, we are so far away from that good opportunity. But within the womb, he got darshan of the Lord. So you can understand what a great personality he was. Nobody gets that darshan unless he is qualified. So he was already qualified even within the womb. And throughout his life, he exemplified what a true Vaishnava is by his acts and behavior. And to the fag end of his life, when a curse was bestowed upon him that he has only 7 days to live, he chose to completely detach himself from all the worldly occupations and singularly devote himself to Shravanam, to hearing the glories of the Lord, and thus prepare himself to leave this world. Two important points in this. He had 7 days notice. Actually, we all have 7 days notice. Because any one of us, when we die, we have to die in one of the 7 days of the week. It has got to be from Monday to Sunday, any one of the days. So this 7 days is very important. It is not an empty count. I remember a joke that children used to make. They used to ask, how many signals are there from church gate to Borivali? Can you imagine how many signals when you go by road? Difficult, no? Answer is only 3 signals, red, yellow and green. Similarly, we have to die in one of the 7 days. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us what should we do in our lifetime before death, the death of the serpent of Takshak in the form of death bites us. We are all sailing in the same boat. So these are great souls who are teaching us how to conduct oneself in life. It is also explained, Bhagavad Gita teaches us how to live, L-I-V-E. And Bhagavatam teaches us how to live, L-E-A-V-E. How to live this world. That is what Parikshit Maharaj exemplified by his behavior. He was preparing himself to leave this world. And Arjuna was preparing himself to fight a war. So how to live and how to leave. And towards the end of the Bhagavatam, it's in the 11th canto, is almost nearing the end. Like any distinguished personality, when he speaks, he summarizes what he spoke. Especially our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu and so many other speakers in our temple, at the end of their lecture, they will give you a beautiful synopsis of what they have spoken. So those who have not been able to catch the lecture from the beginning or midway, those who have fallen asleep, for all of their benefit, the synopsis is very helpful. Similarly, here, Krishna is giving a synopsis of all that he has spoken in the Bhagavatam by addressing the whole gist of the Bhagavatam to Uddhava. And this forms one section of the Bhagavatam known as the Uddhava Gita. What Krishna speaks to Uddhava is the Uddhava Gita, and we are in that part of the Bhagavatam. So therefore, here, the message of the Bhagavatam is being condensed and given for us, for our proper understanding and for our application. So in this particular verse, it is explained, what are the qualities of a sage or a saintly person? Nastuvitana nindeta kurvata sadhva sadhuvam vadato guna doshabhyam varjita samadrik muni. A saintly sage sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. This actually reminds us of one beautiful shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, which is of a similar nature. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane hastini gavi swapakena suni chaiva pandita samadarshina. So Samadrik Muni, so one who is able to see with equal vision, without distinguishing, without differentiating, understanding the underlying truth that is connecting everything, one who goes to the root of the matter, that is the quality of a sage, of a saintly person. Sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Tendency for us in this world is to accept and reject. And this question of accepting and rejecting, or this function of accepting and rejecting, is actually the function of the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa, it is explained as, to accept and reject. This is the function of the mind. And the mind is compared to a small child. A child also accepts and rejects. Kshan mein haan bolega, kshan mein na bolega. He says, I want this, and if you give it to him, he says, no, I don't want. This is the nature of a child. Very, very fickle. Another one shloka which comes to mind, which will describe the nature of the mind, is the comparison to a monkey. That is, I'm not able to recollect, but the meaning of the shloka is, a monkey by nature is restless, very restless. Now, if that monkey is bitten by a scorpion, you can understand what is his condition. As it is, he will not sit in one place. Now he begins to jump. And furthermore, if that monkey has also been given some alcohol, what is his condition? He gets intoxicated. He is still more agitated. His agitation is now uncontrollable. And on top of all this, now he is possessed by a ghost. A ghost has entered him. Then what will be his condition? Simply out of control. That is compared to the state of the mind. That is the state of the mind. Therefore, to like and dislike is a function of the mind, and it is completely out of control. So, a sage does not therefore fall to the trappings of the mind. That is the point. If our Sudama Prabhu very nicely said, Jo man ki sune, wo monkey. Jo man ki sune, wo monkey. He has got a very beautiful way of connecting languages and bringing out the meaning. He says, people say headache. So he applies it and he says, head ek hi hota hai, do nahi, headache. Similarly, here we have to understand that the quality of a saintly person is he has an equal vision. He doesn't differentiate between things as good or bad, as friend or enemy, as favorable or unfavorable. In fact, in the second shloka, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions, a devotee, a saintly person, accepts everything, whether it is spiritual or material, for the service of Krishna, and therefore considers everything to be favorable. He does not disqualify things as material, therefore it is unfavorable, let us leave it out. He will accept everything and try to use it the best possible way in the service of the Lord. So this is a very, very distinguishing feature of a saintly person. He observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly. The sage does not praise or criticize. This is another very important quality. In our daily course, we do see people. Sometimes we approve of their behavior, sometimes we disapprove of their behavior. But when we disapprove of their behavior, or even when we approve of their behavior, we are very eager to speak out. Oh, how nice you are, how wonderful you have done. I want to congratulate you. And if somebody does something which is abominable, horrible, how can you do that? That is our instant reaction. And It is better if you don't speak out, but very often we speak out. And that is not advisable. That is what is given here. Why do you speak out, or why do you even differentiate as good and bad? It is because of this mentality, of a childlike mentality, of having the mind which is uncontrolled and succumbing to the control of the mind. This is the shortcoming of a person who is completely surrendered to the mind. Actually, to whom should we surrender? That is given in the next verse. We have to surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is where the mind is automatically pacified. Because the mind, chanchalahi manak Krishna, even Arjuna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, pramati balavad dhradam. So, it is as uncontrollable as the wind. It is trying to control the wind with your bare hands. You cannot do it. Similarly, to try to control the mind is not possible. So the solution to control the mind is not by trying to beat it. The solution to control the mind is simply to engage the mind in the service of the Lord and to hear the glories of the Lord. So when one does that, automatically the mind becomes pacified. So the second part, the second shloka, translation is, for the purpose of maintaining his body, a liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, he should be detached in all material circumstances and taking pleasure in self-realization. He should wander about, engaged in this liberated lifestyle, appearing like a retarded person to outsiders. When you read this, immediately the story of Jadabharat flashes to the mind. And here it is also, the word is also used in the purport here, Jadavat, that is stunted. So here it is mentioned, the people of this world today, whom we meet, and we ourselves, we observe ourselves, we are so very involved in maintaining our body, our house, our family, our social position, our business, and we are completely entangled and engrossed in these material activities. So much so that we don't have time to hear about the Lord, to associate with the devotees of the Lord, to come to the temple to have darshan of the Lord, to engage in devotional activities, because we feel time is precious. Yes, for everybody time is precious. For the devotee as well as for the worldly person. The worldly person is simply continuously engaged in his fruitive activities. Mera kya? What will I get if I do this? This is the predominating consciousness of a materialist. What is the gain that I am going to get out of it? And spirituality teaches us, in giving there is gain, not in collecting. The material viewpoint is, the more you have, the richer you are. But the sad part is, the more you have, the more you want. So it drives you. It drives you relentlessly to have more. And you feel, I have not had enough. That feeling, the feeling of satiation never comes to a person who is on the material platform. Therefore, a person on the material platform can never be stable. He's always unstable. He's always running, tripping, falling, again getting up, again standing, getting bruised. But still, he feels he's like a warrior who is excited to action the minute he sees blood. But unfortunately, until and unless he's properly guided, unless and unless he chooses the right direction, all his efforts will be in vain. Shrama evahi kevalam. Therefore, the Bhagavatam teaches us, our goal is not simply to work like a donkey, but in today's parlance, we call it smart work, smartphone, smart cities. So we have to work smart. But what is that smart work? simply to change the paradigm from material to spiritual consciousness. The more we are entangled in material consciousness, the deeper we sink in the quagmire of material existence. It is like getting caught in quicksand. In quicksand, what happens? You try to come out of the quicksand. Will you be successful? What will happen? You will sink deeper and deeper. Jitna haath paav maroge, utna duboge. That is the problem. So what is the solution to come out of quicksand? Somebody who is standing on stable ground has to throw a rope and pull you out. External help is the only solution. So the material activities and material entanglement is compared to a quicksand. And the more one tries to find material solutions to his material problem, he is like a person who is trying to extricate himself on his own from this, what you call as quicksand or daldal. So he gets entangled more and more into it. Therefore, Bhagavatam gives us the solution. What should one do? One has to surrender to a guru. That is, take the help of a person who is standing on a stable platform, who is not in the quicksand, who is not in this daldal. Therefore, we have to take the person and the shelter. Therefore, the spiritual path is surrender to the spiritual master and surrender to the disciplic succession, and through that disciplic succession, surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. So that is the solution that is given. And therefore, the qualities of a saintly person is mentioned over here, that you can identify a saintly person by these activities, by these qualities, and therefore, we can try to follow them. We can try to take shelter of them. We can try to surrender our lives to them. And then, actually, Sudama Prabhu also explains the meaning of the word surrender. Surrender. Put your sir, that is head, under the feet of the spiritual master. That is the meaning of surrender. Surrender. Actually, many of these English words and the Sanskrit words have a lot of commonality between them, because actually the root of all languages is the Supreme Lord. Under is an English word, means below. Under is a Hindi word, means inside. But both have the same shade of meaning. And if you try to spell under in English, you will come up with the same spelling, U-N-D-E-R, under. Actually, so the people of this world are completely engrossed in maintaining themselves. They are so entangled in that activity that they don't have time. So when you call somebody, please come for satsang program, please come to the temple, they say no time. When they say no time, understand that this is like a thermometer with which you measure their material fever. When they say no time, it means temperature is above 102. No, I have time for coming to the satsang or to hear the glories of the Lord. That means you are so entangled, so badly caught up in your material activities. Therefore, they need special treatment. And that is Prabhupada's great glory. He has opened centers all across the world, not just the temples. Attached to the temple, there are so many Namahatta preaching centers, and there are so many individual devotees who go out and preach the message of the Bhagavatam, preach the message of Gita, preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore retrieve the fallen souls of this world. So again, this verse continues the same theme. To contemplate in terms of material good or bad, to differentiate, is the sign of a person who is materially oriented. Rather, he should be detached in all material circumstances and taking pleasure in self-realization. He should wander about engaged in this liberated self-style, lifestyle, appearing like a retarded person to outsiders. It happens naturally when you actually take interest in spirituality, not engrossed in aggrandizing more and more wealth, people consider you to be one who is an eccentric, a freak, or something who is out of the common. That happens automatically. You automatically appear like a retarded person to the outsiders. And this is the story of Jad Bharat. We can recollect briefly. Bharat Maharaj was a great saintly person. He was the son of Rishabdev, right? Yeah. So he lived a very exemplified life. And he had attained a very great stage, Bhava Bhakti almost. But then there was one shortcoming. He did not have the association of devotees. So the Lord uses his devotees to show what are all the important things that one has to keep in mind while making spiritual progress. Association of devotees is one of them. And Bharat Maharaj lacked that association. So he sat in seclusion and he was contemplating. And he was doing his sadhana. And that is when a deer came, the child of a deer, and distracted his sadhana bhakti. He was so attached to that deer and thinking that he is the only protector for the deer. There is no other protection for this deer. So therefore he was contemplating more and more about the deer, and his contemplation about the Lord took a back seat, and the contemplation about the deer took a front seat. And therefore he was distracted in his goal, and in the last minute of his life when he was giving up his body, rather than thinking of the Lord, he was thinking of the deer. And therefore, true to the words of the Bhagavad Gita, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam nati yati nastyatra samshayah. So whatever consciousness you attain at the time of giving up the body, you attain to that state of consciousness in your next life. So therefore he got the body of a deer, and in that body he still remembered his last life because of his extraordinary activities. And this time he was very, very focused on hearing the message of the sages. He would go and hear katha from the sages around. And therefore the next life when he took, he again came as a human being, but this time he chose, like how Brahma chose to become Haridas Thakur, he chose not to have a position of eminence or importance, but to be like a mentally retarded person. So he took a Jada stage, that means Jada Bharat. So he was in that frame, and that way he was roaming about, but ultimately he attained his goal of life because he was able to focus on the real purpose of human being, human life. So this way we see that he took pleasure in self-realization. Actually, the Atma is the soul and God is Paramatma, the super soul. The nature of the soul and super soul is the same. Both are of spirit and nature. That is opposite of matter. Matter is that which is susceptible to the senses. And that which is beyond the scope of the senses is spirit. And the purpose of human life is to know the spirit. To know that you are not this body. Unfortunately, our entire material education focuses only on things that can be sensed by the one of the five senses. And therefore completely ignores the spirit, Atma. But that is our true self. That is the reality. Therefore, you just see, it is properly explained that this world is a world of illusion because we are drifting away from the reality, drifting away from the understanding that we are the soul, and from, therefore, the purpose of human life is to refocus on the soul. To see what the eyes can see, it only needs a fool. But to see what needs to be seen, it needs an enlightened person, a person who has got spiritual vision, and that spiritual vision can only be granted by the spiritual master. Jyot se jyot jagate chalo. It's a very famous song. Similarly, the purpose of a spiritual master is to kindle the flame of true knowledge in the heart of the living entities. And that is done by awakening the quest to seek the soul and the quest to seek the super soul, the Lord. To seeking the soul means self-realization, Seeking the Lord is God realization. These two go hand in hand because they are interrelated. Because the soul is part and parcel of the Lord. Mamaivamsho jivaloke, jivabhuta sanatana, manashasthani indriyani, prakriti sthane karshati. Krishna explains in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that this soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, nothing of this world can satisfy the soul. Therefore, anything that we may run to acquire more and more in this world, what will happen? It will not satisfy the soul. That pleasure that it gives is only on the level of the senses, on the level of the mind, on the level of the intelligence, but it will not touch the soul. Indriyani paraniya hor indriyebhya param mana manasastu param buddhir yo buddhir paratastu sahab. It is explained in the Gita, the different layers in which we exist, on the level of the senses. So it is explained that the senses are actually more powerful than the sense objects. And more powerful than the senses is the mind, which is the controller of the senses. And more powerful than the mind is the intelligence which can control the mind. But most powerful of all is the soul. And if the soul is properly situated and well directed, then the intelligence, mind, senses all fall in line. And such a person is a saintly person. Such a person who is living on the platform of the soul is one who is self-realized. Such a person is not bewildered by the things of this world. Such a person is not distracted by the so-called attractions of this world. There was one nice thing, weapons of mass destruction. This was the caption when America attacked Iraq. And our Devamrita Swami said, weapons of mass distraction, that is the illusions offered by the material energy, is the war we have to fight in our individual life. And therefore, Bhagavatam enlightens us on this topic. Bhagavatam gives us knowledge about this topic. Actually, this quest for understanding the truth is there in everybody's heart. And one somehow or the other is always seeking to find out what is actually the true goal of human life at every point of time. ISKCON is an organization which helps you to connect to that true goal of human life. But bhakti is not the monopoly of ISKCON. Bhakti is intrinsic in human nature. It has been there from the time of creation. ISKCON is only promoting that which is the true goal of human life. So I remember, actually I noted it down, in my search for trying to understand on what platform to base one's life, I was bewildered by the events that were happening in one's daily life, sometimes favorable, sometimes unfavorable. So when things are comfortable, you are happy, you get elated. When things go wrong, you become depressed and suddenly your mood swings take place. I said, this is not the way to live, but how to live? So the thought process fell into motion, and the mind started churning up some things. So some of those things I had noted down, and I came to ISKCON in 1990. My search, actually, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna brought me here. But before that, my search. So I briefly penned that search. Man sweats and frets on what his heart gets set, hopes and yearns for his dreams to come true. Yet when he gets his heart's desire, new passions surge up and new desires rise. Fresh efforts forthcome, and he continues to strive, chasing the horizon that's never to arrive. Struggle, not achievement. Motion, not rest. Desire, not fulfillment, is his endless quest. So, even if you get what you want, you're not satisfied. Why? Satisfaction will come only when you are seeking something on the spiritual platform and that connection comes to you, then you come to rest. And therefore, the mind which is running after the things of this world can never come to rest. So man's quest in this world will be endless until and unless he directs himself to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, in 2001, when I had to make an offering to the spiritual master, Vyas Puja offering, so that time I penned down my thoughts. So they were like this. This world is a place that's full of gloom. To rest our head, there is just no room. With all our might, though we may fight, victory is always out of sight. For the enemies lurking in our very heart and not in front, whom we can confront. Like a bolting deer in search of scent, our lives in vain we have lost and spent. But a ray of hope there is in sight, and that, Maharaj, is your very sight. For you can see what we cannot. You are transcendental, which we are not. You have the sword to tear apart that enemy seated in our heart. Your mercy is like the ocean vast, from which we can take as much as we want. We pray now at your lotus feet and beg forgiveness for our misdeeds. So with these words, I would like to sum up today's discussion. Thank you very much for a patient hearing, and Hare Krishna. So I hope there are no questions. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Pardon me? Christianity. Okay. Mic, eh? Anybody has the mic? Yeah. Just a minute. Because everybody should hear what Prabhuji is telling. Prabhu, just a minute, yeah. It's coming. But I want everybody to hear. Just a minute.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, you can just tell me. Yeah. No, you can please tell. Yeah. So Mother Teresa, you were, yeah, got it.
To give the designation of sainthood to Mother Teresa, there was a lot of hullabulla. There was a transferred votings and all those discussions and meetings. And then the celebration itself to give her the sainthood was killing the sainthood, the spirit of the sainthood. Now in us, is there any platform or is there any level where the devotee becomes the saint, or we can call him sage? And how does he become sage, and how it is given the sagehood?
Actually, the Vedic system is not one of issuing certificates. Yeah. Today's modern day education, we are so conditioned to that kind of an thought process that you want to certify everything. We want to rubber stamp everything. So students who come out of college, they are given a certificate certifying that they have attained a certain level of understanding. But unfortunately, this pattern is actually falling flat. We are able to make out, even today, those who are holding the graduation certificates, how many of them are truly employable? There is a statistic for that. How many of them are truly employable? Therefore, this system of grading, this system of stamping, this system of certifying is got more or less a Western orientation. But the Vedic culture, the Vedic system is to look inwards rather than seek approval from people outside. So therefore, when one is able to connect to the Lord in the heart, one feels that solace, one feels that satisfaction, one feels, I have arrived. When you eat food, your stomach is full. No outside person need come and tell you that your stomach is full. In the same way, it is a satisfaction that comes from within the heart, which is what actually denotes the satisfaction of the soul, and that comes only when you strike the chord of truth. Till then, it will not come. And therefore, the world's greatest personalities, Einstein, Newton, most of them were students of Gita, though they were so far removed from this culture. Because anybody who is seeking the truth is automatically going to gravitate towards it, because it is the crux of all truth. So therefore, we may not have a system of labeling anybody as a sage or a saint, but the behavior, that is what is therefore given over here. The behavior of such a person, the first simple thing is, they will not be criticizing people. And a few days back, I remember the lecture where it was very nicely explained that until and unless one gives up the tendency to criticize, one will be entangled in Vaishnava Aparad, and that will pull one down. And therefore, even from the bud, we have to nip it, the tendency to criticize. When you stop criticizing, when you start differentiating on the material platform, then the tendency arises. Therefore, to focus on the Lord and to look at the good qualities in others and to see what is best in the outsiders and the others and to fan those good qualities will do good to them and will do good to us. To look at the bad qualities will not encourage them and will not do any good to us. When you criticize others, it is like holding burning charcoal in the hand. Before you throw the charcoal, it will burn your own hand. Before the other person gets any damage, first thing is it will burn your own hand. Therefore, this is what is beautifully explained here. We have to look inwards and we have to grow outwards. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Does the saint feel himself that he has become saint?
Actually, according to the Vedic understanding, a saintly person will never like to be glorified that he is a saint. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, just see, Tumara Kukur, that's what he says. He's such a saint. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is no less than any saint. But what does he sing? He says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am a worm in the stool. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, I am a dog. So you can see from these examples. So this is our Vedic tradition. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Thank you.